Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the last of our introductory round of candidate interviews for the special election to fill the late Frank Lautenberg's Senate seat. Today, Republican candidate Dr. Alida Eck, E-C-K. She is the former president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, a group which functions, she says, as a conservative AMA. She came to prominence in some Tea Party circles for her activism against President Obama's health care reform law, and joins us now. Dr. Eck, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Of the six candidates running, you're the only one who has not served in elected office and been under the public spotlight. So why don't you take a moment to introduce yourself to our audience?
I would be a citizen legislator. On June 3rd, I was volunteering at our non-government free clinic that my husband and I started 10 years ago, where we take care of the poor with no cost to the taxpayers, and at a cost of about $13 a patient visit. The patients don't have to pay. It's all volunteers that donate, and volunteers give us contributions. Anyway, at the end of the day, I got a call from a board member from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, of which I'd served as, that was an elected role, as the president. And he just said, Alida, you need to put your hat in the ring and try to run to get the seat. To me, politics was always something that was like a high mountain to climb, and all the fundraising and stuff that goes on, and then the dirty tricks and the hard aspects always turned me off. Yet I've always been very interested in policy because I see how government can make life harder. And really what government needs to be doing is to facilitate our lives and help our families to do better. So I thought I could do this. I've probably been preparing for the past 40 years. As I've been in the private sector, I've raised five kids. I've seen it's hard for them to get into, to get going. These people, they put money in the bank and there's no interest. Just things have happened that is really difficult. And I would like to make a difference.
So if you're running in the Republican primary, then you would have to make a case to Republicans in New Jersey that you would be a more qualified candidate to run against the Democrat for U.S. Senate than former Bogota Mayor Steve Lonergan, who's certainly a recognizable name against among New Jersey Republicans, and he's known for his Tea Party activism and with the Koch brothers American for Prosperity, the New Jersey chapter. So how would you make a case that, A, you would be a better senator than Steve Lonergan for New Jersey, and, B, that you would be more likely to defeat the Democrat in the general election?
Okay, on the first level, it's the first time I'm running, so I haven't lost several times. When you lose several times, you tend to pick up baggage and make it harder to win in the end. So I have no baggage. What I've done is do when I'm I consider myself not a community organizer, but a community caregiver, one that can organize other caregivers, and I can get things done. Patients are coming us from Newark. So to answer the second question, can I win out over the Democrat? I believe I could do that too because I have real solutions. I'm not a career politician who is able to get $1.3 million campaign speeches when they go out. I'm not a rock star. I'm somebody who would be a citizen legislator that would go in there the way the founders devised the country, and they figured that's what people would be doing, go out of the private sector, go serve your country for a while, and then come back, not out of touch with reality. I wouldn't be spending my time just running for re-election, which is what I'm afraid happens now in Washington.
So with respect to your specialty, which is being a physician and medical issues, should I assume that you would start by trying to repeal Obamacare?
Why do you think that?
Wild guess.
Yes. Obamacare is just layers and layers of bureaucracy that's being placed on the healthcare system, which will not increase access to care. And already we're finding premiums are going up, and it's going to make it more expensive. So the whole thing makes absolutely no sense. And I have a better way to care for the poor. If the government does it, it costs 10 times more. I call it trickle-down charity. So the taxpayers give a lot of money. Government and all the bureaucracy keeps 90%, and 10% makes it to the actual people who are given the care. A lot of people are getting very wealthy in the Medicaid system. And I think that needs to just end. There's a much better way to take care of the poor, and that's be more community-centric back where the communities are.
Are you recommending not only repeal of Obamacare, but also repeal of the Medicaid system?
I would say replace it with something better. I wouldn't repeal it because you don't want to rock a boat that's helping some people. But if you could just slowly work out a way to make it a better system than the wildly expensive Medicaid system. Let me tell you, the Medicaid system costs $13 billion a year in our state, and our budget's $33 billion. It's over a third, and yet patients cannot find a doctor that can afford to work under the Medicaid system. So the Medicaid office is sending patients to our free clinic. Imagine that. What are we spending $13 billion on? We need to take a good look at that. I would suggest that the Medicaid money that's coming from the federal government, and that would be my role as a senator, be block granted back to the states. Let the states be then the incubators of democracy. Figure out better ways of doing it, and then the states that get it right would be copied by the states that are struggling. We have 50 ways of figuring it out. But the federal government doesn't have better ideas. All they do is they fight and they don't get a whole lot done. And they're getting wealthy in Washington, D.C., while the people back home are struggling more and more.
But when you say trickle-down charity as the system, I just want to make sure I understand it. You're not talking about undoing government medical care, paid for medical care for the poor, and turning it over to private charity?
Well, we're suggesting in New Jersey, we already have a bill that's been introduced, and that is for doctors to donate 4 hours a week in a non-government free clinic to take care of the poor. So that's at no cost to the taxpayers. We're asking for the state to simply protect the physicians who donate in that way in their private practices protect them from medical malpractice. If we could do that, we would get the job done of caring for the poor. The civic groups in the communities, even the inner city, the churches, the synagogues, whoever, any kind of philanthropic group would come together. And, I mean, Americans are very generous. If we didn't have to pay so high taxes, we'd be willing to do that. And I have found that doctors are 90% would be happy to get involved in a program like that. And so what you're doing is you're freeing up the economy to be more generous and for the hard-earned dollars to be saved by the family so that they can spend it on their own needs and not be poor.
And do you think that that would trickle all the way up to the advanced kind of specialty care that people need? It's one thing for a doctor to volunteer a number of hours a week at some kind of free clinic for primary care, but if somebody needs sophisticated cancer treatment or heart surgery or things like that, you think private charity can provide that?
Well, I think there can be an insurance system that could do the high ticket things. Before we had Medicare and Medicaid, people were able to get those. And again, the private sector can do a lot of the larger ticket items. All the specialties wouldn't be involved in this. So, for instance, I have a patient who broke her leg 2 years ago. Medicaid system has just failed her. Her leg has never been set. And it's a complicated story, but it's a horror story that we're finally getting remedied as she came to our clinic and I got her into the hospital and I started to push on doctors to go ahead and we got to do something. But it's a complicated reason why a person on Medicaid doesn't really get the care they need. So she's been hospitalized 3 or 4 times. She's been just, it cost the system a fortune and yet has not gotten her leg fixed. I mean, I give her pain medicine and we're working on it. That's the kind of patient that is just an example of the disastrous system that we have now. We could do so much better if we had doctors donating time, and this would be the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, and then the hospital. Now, hospitals used to be places where you had fundraisers and they put things together and took care of the charity, but when it's a big, giant government program. Again, it's trickle-down charity. It's costing the taxpayers way too much, not getting the job done.
We've got a few minutes left. Not coming from politics, you know, and the issues that are currently debated for the most part in the Senate these days. Do you have an opinion on any of these? Pick one if you want to react to it. The Gang of Eight's immigration reform plan or the NSA, cybersecurity, and anything you would want to say on that and the Senate's role on that, or whether the United States should get involved militarily in Syria with arming the rebels? Pick one.
Pick one. Oh, I'll take that last one. I don't think the U.S. government ought to be involved in a conflict that's been going on for the past 1,300 years. I have a close friend who's from Syria, and he says it is far more complicated. And arming the rebels, who are they? And many of them are al-Qaeda. So we'd be arming people that we don't even know what we're doing. So why get involved? I would, if it were my choice, I would vote to stay out of that conflict. And you need to just really, really take care of your friends and determine who they are. But arming the rebels, they're not organized. And again, we're fighting a war that's 1,300 years old.
Where are you on social issues? So again, since this is an introductory interview, so people can get a sense, where are you on gay marriage or abortion rights?
Abortion rights, I'm pro-life. That's just been that's my DNA as a physician. I consider a pregnant woman to be two patients, to be dealing with two patients. Yet I wouldn't demonize the woman who chose an abortion, but I'd rather determine ways to really help her determine the reasons why she thinks that's what she needs. And
how would you penalize the physician?
Well, we saw the Gosnell trial, and he needs to go to jail. No, I wouldn't penalize the physician either. That's a complicated issue, and again, the bigger problem is it's very hard to stop things that are happening behind closed doors. So when we're talking about the marriage issue, I think marriage should be between a man and a woman. But yet I think marriage is also something that is more of a church definition. And civil unions are something that exist. And again, I have a more libertarian viewpoint on that, where you know, you can't stop people from wanting to be with the person that they love. And I would not think that the federal government should have any role in that. Again, as a U.S. Senator, we're talking federal policy.
Right. 30 seconds, open mic. Anything you want to say to the voters?
I think that what we need in the state of New Jersey is a different type of senator, somebody who has common sense solutions. We need to have government be smaller so that people can keep more of their hard-earned money and then take care of their families and vote for me. Go to eckforsenate.com.
Dr. Alida Eck, running for the Republican nomination to replace Frank Lautenberg in the U.S. Senate. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.